This podcast series has been made possible through an exclusive sponsorship from SA's number one nano influencer platform, The Salt. Most brands have a communication line to their existing customers, but not a way to get them to have additional positive brand conversations. The Salt solves the problem by identifying brand fans and getting them to talk more about their positive brand experiences. The Salt have a database of over 140,000 registered brand fans and in-depth information on each to perfectly match your brand to the right influencers. Reach out to them now and see what they can do for you.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. Morning, Doc. How's it going this morning?
Hey, Gordon. All right. How are you?
I'm really well. I mean, I'm looking forward to another in the series of Rising Stars, because that's really crucial. I think it's something you've been really good in identifying, that we've got to get young people and a new kind of take on the industry. So I'm really excited about this morning's guest.
Yep. Yeah, it is great, Gordon. And I think, you know, the nice thing about, you know, the rising stars that we're interviewing, and today is no exception, and we'll introduce Lisa in a second, is for other people out there, youngsters, to also listen and put up their hand, you know, for this year, for next year, you know, because, and it's not just about competition entries. We can't live our lives just by that, and we're not. But we're saying, hold on, if you're a marketer, a media person, strategist, a creative, whatever you are, and you happen to be a youngster, well, why don't you listen in, be part of the conversation? We always say that, Gordon, send in your questions, send in to us guests you'd like to see, you know, people whom we don't know, perhaps. And that's nice that you get new ideas, new talent. And we, through the last 2 years, Gordon, have had some fantastic guests on, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, you know, talking about young talent, of course, we recently had Jeremy Maggs on talking about his new book.
Sorry, and, I shouldn't be laughing.
Jeremy listens to this show, so you're probably in trouble now. But it just occurred to me, you know, with his Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I was thinking about an ANC show along the same sort of lines. Who Wants to Be a Tsotsi? But the only difference is you can just find as many of your friends as you want, you know, repeatedly on somebody else's call time. So, Jeremy, just think about that. You were looking for a new show. Who Wants to Be a Tsotsi? Brought to you by the ANC.
But every week, Gordon, I say it now, every week we come with questions that you and I agree more or less this is the theme we're going to go down, and every week you trip me up with some question or another or some comment that, you know, we hadn't really planned for. So today it was
so moving on,
on to today's topic, Gordon. Yeah, as I say, you know, part of the recent Marketing Achievement Awards, there was a category under 35 top marketers in the country. Lisa Mainz Sheard from Nedbank, welcome. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here wrap up the Marketing Achievement Awards. Being part of the Rising Star finalists was a really exciting time for me in 2021. And yeah, it kicked the year off to a really good start for me. Thanks.
Yeah. That's great. And again, you know, well done. As I say, you know, it's I guess, Gordon, the nature of any competition is it's competitive and you've got people of competitive juices and all the rest of it. And I mean, some of those entries, and I chaired this particular category, I mean, there were some top-notch top-notch work, you know, and Nedbank, and we'll touch on it. You know, they had a nice run in the whole competition. But I mean, I think before we get into that, Lisa, just before we get into your current work that you're doing, let's look a little bit back. Your career started at Aqua in digital, and then you worked on one of your clients who you're working with then. You went to the client side, Coca-Cola, big multinational, and you did some international work. So let's just take us through that journey, if you don't mind, a bit of a look back, and then we can look forward into where you are at the moment.
So I started off my career in digital and advertising at Aqua Agency under Brent Scheim. I don't know if you guys know him. He's a really awesome leader, and I think he built probably one of the best agencies back in the day. So really lucky to have worked at Aqua. Worked on the Coca-Cola account from day one as I arrived as a brand new social media community manager, first day on the job, got put with Powerade, didn't know what I was doing, but it was really exciting, cool to work on such an awesome brand and get to know some of the people at Coke. Carried on my social media journey as social media manager, social media brand manager, and eventually was asked to move over to Coke South Africa to start their consumer interaction center. So it was kind of like their social media consumer touchpoint center that managed all of the social media work that went out, as well as all social media engagement, community, crisis, and all tactical content. So that was quite a large team of about 12 to start with, managing all brands. And then just before leaving, I managed to craft the center into moving into Africa and then servicing the whole of South and East Africa. It was quite an exciting time working on those brands. I've worked across every single Share a Coke campaign that's landed in South Africa, so that's quite a nice reference point. A lot of knowledge and learning is coming from that. And of course, the big wins that, you know, we used to call it only Coke can do projects. The budgets and the time, the people that you have when working for a company like that is just amazing and something that's, you know, I'll never take for granted and definitely something that I can use in my career going forward. So a lot of highlights, but it was eventually time to move on. And when the opportunity came to work at Nedbank, it was a no-brainer for me to take it. Learning a new industry, something completely different, kind of detoxing the Kool-Aid of Coca-Cola and moving on to financial services and home loans and credit cards. It was quite scary and took a while to start detoxing the Kool-Aid, but eventually I got there. It's been a stellar run so far.
Just come in. Yeah, what intrigues me about what you've said there is you're talking about the Coke share a Coke thing. I mean, as a concept for me, I can go back in my own mind to, you know, the 60s, literally, with I'd like to buy the world a Coke. And it's really fascinating that you talk like that, because there's an example somehow in our minds, or in my mind, perhaps incorrectly, I've got to think of social media and digital as kind of a short-term tactical thing, but it's really interesting that you can go all the way back to that kind of pedigree, and you're using the technology to amplify the long game. It's not an either or, and I think it's really nice that you dip back into that space. But
yeah, it is, and I think, you know, Gordon, we've spoken before, and I think it was in Jeremy's show the other week that we spoke about the use of technology as an enhancer. And not as a either or, or not necessarily that makes things better or worse. It's how you use the tool of the day. You know, in the tool of the day at that time was a song that became, you know, a big hit. Mm. It became a jingle. Yep. It became a whole lot of stuff around Coke in its era. You know, if I look at, you know, people who celebrate Christmas, if you look at the Father Christmas icon on the Coke truck, it's become symbolic of that time of the year to share a Coke, as an example. And I mean, there are a lot of examples. But I mean, Lisa, I wrote down, only Coke can do. That's a fantastic slogan, and it's great for you as a young person to have experienced that bandwidth of time and money, because, you know, sometimes, and I've often said, you know, sometimes with big money you can do big things. You can also stuff it up, you know, and sometimes people get a bit sloppy because, you know, you've got so much money, we'll just fix up the error. So it's great that, you know, from what I'm listening to, you used, you know, that time and those skills and grew it with a nice healthy budget. Let's just talk a little bit before we get on to the current stuff. World Cup, Russia, you were saying I was reading in your bio, in your preamble, you did some work with Atlanta, head office of Coca-Cola for the World Cup across the territory.
Yeah, that was a really exciting time for us. So as the CIC operations manager at that time, we were in charge of, you know, crafting all of the real-time content that went out from the Coke accounts for Coke Africa during every match, pre-match, during match. You know, we really needed to, they called them the, you know, capture the moments of consumption. So be it at home or out at a bar or at a braai, you know, we didn't host any games here, so we didn't have in-stadium or on-site consumption, but, you know, what are the moments that are cup-worthy for drinkable moments, you know, that we could, like, amplify. So we had to create a lot of real-time content during each and every match. So we worked very closely with the Atlanta team, who we created kind of like a huge library that spanned every team, their flags, their nails, for example, painted with country flags. And our teams were then tasked across our CIC in Joburg and the CIC in Atlanta to create that library and to kind of craft content with copy and creative that could then be seeded across to other CICs globally as the matches were happening in real time. We then had quite a few real-time events before the games, the bigger semifinals and the quarterfinals that we hosted at like fan parks that co-crafted and created. And in those moments, we had the Atlanta team with us here on site creating content for their trophy tour. So they had a team that followed the trophy across each of the countries that it visited. And this was quite cool. It was like in a, they had a massive like wrapped jumbo jet that just the trophy flew in with some of the team, and it went to like every country, and we would meet the in Joburg and in Cape Town. We met the plane, and it was like celebrities like Casper Nyovest, Shuma Jozi, and whatever, creating like a big like show around it, and then creating like live streams and content around those experiences for the fans at home and for them to come and join us in the fan parks to obviously drive trial or product as well as interact with the brand.
Yeah, from a media perspective, again, what I'm enjoying hearing there is the complete vertical integration. And it concerns me that so much of our industry is set up in silos still. So there's digital agency, there's a media buying agency, there's a strategy agency. And it makes it, to my mind, very difficult to integrate to the level of detail, right from concept, you know, sharing a Coke down to the color of your fingernails. I find it very difficult to imagine how, having grown up in an advertising agency myself, how you would put that all together. But I guess that's part of your magic at Nedbank now. You've got a massively multifaceted kind of project there, and that's, I guess, what you've got to do. You've got to get everybody in their silos, some alliance. I'd love to hear about how that works, and I'd love to hear about the journey going from a FMCG, the ultimate FMCG brand, into a massive corporate giant like Nedbank. That must have been quite a mind shift for you.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like I said earlier, it was a friend of mine, Justine, who is the GM at Nando's, also coming from Coke. Just, you know, she gave me the advice of, you need to detox the Coke Kool-Aid. Like, it's going to take time, but eventually, you know, when it's done, and you'll realize. And it did take time, and I think as that slowly but surely happened, you kind of start opening yourself up to learning more and gaining and taking on better experiences in the new role that you've been given. So very exciting to end the detox and kind of fully lean into new opportunities and take them and run with them and move forward in areas that, you know, my knowledge was very little to, I think, a year later, nearly 2 years later, is quite vast.
Yeah. And I mean, just talking about that for a second, I mean, let's just talk about your current role. I'm going to get onto the award now and reference Money Secrets and some of the other accolades that went to Nedbank on this year's awards. Just let's talk about, what is your current role? What are you currently doing at Nedbank? And then some of the learnings and highlights that you've taken out of that journey so far.
Sure. So when I started at Nedbank, I moved across as the social media manager within the social team. And shortly after that, moved across into digital marketing manager, working mostly across the retail banking side, as well as managing all brand and sponsorship projects. So within the brand and sponsorship projects, I have landed myself as project lead of our financial literacy, financial wellness, financial education program. Exciting. It's launching next week. So hopefully I can share that with you guys next week once it's live to South Africa. But it's a very exciting project that kind of started off as a financial literacy project slash initiative. As we've gone down our journey, we've learned quite a lot. We started with quite an intensive research phase into what exactly South African consumers require when it comes to their financial content needs, especially around education and literacy. So this has evolved into quite a unique and bespoke offering from Nedbank to the South African populace, not just Nedbank clients, any South African in general, that we're hoping will assist South Africans in changing their learning behaviors when it comes to learning about money management, and this in general, their behavior with money, their relationship with money, and learning through conversation with us as the financial experts, and leading them down the path that money well managed can really make a difference in the lives of individuals, families, and businesses.
Yeah, I remember when we chatted to your colleague, Kinsani, in the run-up, we talked about part of the financial wellness thing. There was a test, which I did,
yes.
What kind of money person you were.
Yes, your archetype.
And I did it, and yeah. I was staggered at how mm-hmm. accurate it was. It was really intriguing. So it was interesting for me to seeing banks innovating mm-hmm. In the gamification space, because that's, you know, is yes. one of the attractions, I think, in media. You've got to get that engagement.
I think, and also customizable.
Yeah.
You know, that the more relatable and the more resonance it has, I think the more willingness the consumers take it on to actually change and to make that behavioral change in their mind and a concerted effort going forward, as well as, you know, kind of gaining extra trust with the brand. Mm. Being Nedbank that provided you with that quiz or that knowledge that you know you might not have had
yes.
that you then got, so you took our quiz.
And I think, you know, just referencing, you know, part of our chat, we chatted with Kinsani Nobanda a few weeks back about Money Secrets, and then I also spoke with Pepe Murray separately, mm-hmm. not on this particular podcast, Gordon, but I mean, you know, Pepe from Joe Public, who produced yep. the work, you know, yep. in terms of those case studies and the real relevance of that you could see yourself in it. And I think, again, you know, we've made the point before, and not only now with Nedbank, but about banks and the responsibility, you know, and of teaching people about money. I mean, some of those stats that came through were scary. I mean, you know, that you know, 2/3 of South Africa's population live beyond their means. And it's not necessarily, it could have been exaggerated by COVID and accelerating, but not only. And then, you know, what I didn't know is 1/3 of the people had fallen prey to a pyramid scheme. You know what I mean? Which is sad and crazy, Gordon. You know, and in terms of that long-term unfortunate legacy of perpetual poverty or trouble, you know. So well done to you. And that's great. You know, we look forward to looking at that program. And again, hats off to Nedbank for also, you know, not just yourself being a finalist for the Under 35, but Kinsani finalist for Market of the Year, and then Nedbank winning the category for South African Residence Marketing with that program of Money Secrets really resonating with South Africans, because I think it's a fantastic initiative. So well done on that.
Yeah, and I think it's an important thing, you know, for me, knowledge. I've just been working my way this week through the Edelman Trust Report, which is really well worth a listen. I think we're going to hopefully cover that in a week or two. It's just a global study of trust. And they juxtapose, generally speaking, trust government versus the companies you work for. And, you know, gaining trust, you can see it in the metric. Gaining trust, the trust of people who are informed, is a much easier task than you know, people who are not well informed. And this is where governments, I think, to a large degree in this report anyway, fall short, is they do not inform people. They think they have a vested interest in keeping people ill-informed, but in actual fact, it's the inverse. So I would guess if you're building trust, you're building it off a knowledge base is a brilliant insight into the way things have to be done.
Hashtag no filter. That's how this podcast is delivering real down-to-earth stories told by real people. For an influencer campaign that takes brand conversation to everyday real-life situations, go check out thesalt.co.za. They are the undisputed experts in real influencer marketing.
And I think it's also a good vision or view of looking forward in terms of marketing. You know, I think a lot of people market for the now and look at data, which has happened in the past. It's not really always going to be the future. So you need to set the tone of our positioning for the future for a long time to come. And I think for us, something that is important is the knowledge and education that we want to share through Money Secrets and changing behaviors and having conversations about money with the South African populace to build trust and to build kind of a relationship that, you know, we're on the road with you to help you as a bank and not just as, you know, someone who's pushing products and trying to, you know, fall under, you know, death by Black Twitter, maybe by just, you know, serving product.
Yeah. And I think it's almost a generational responsibility. And if I look at banking and I look at the bank, the influence of, say, your parents' bank or what you know as a household, how does that affect you, you know, as a young person coming through, getting your first bank account, getting perhaps a student loan, getting into business of some description. So the absolute responsibility that you have as a bank, as a major bank, is far broader, as you say, than the here and now. You don't almost know, you almost can't measure the generational responsibility and how far that ripple goes across the pond, good or bad, by giving good or bad advice, you know, because the average person probably doesn't really understand how money works. It's just a complicated subject, you know. And I mean, we've spoken before about, you know, a simpler language, iconography, gamification, you know, things to make money more understandable that I can relate to it and that I can understand, you know what I mean? It's, you talk to bankers, you know, I talk about compound interest and so the average person, I don't know this stuff, you know what I mean? I just want to make sure, you know, that I have some money left at the end of the month in my account and that it doesn't go negative, you know what I mean? And again, you know, it's scary how many people it does go negative, and it goes negative quite quickly and stays
and
negative.
I think that's what we've all learned in the last year, is just how much was being wasted through frivolous kind of activities, which have to be these days managed.
Definitely.
Lisa, looking forward now, I mean, Gordon, you mentioned trust, and it's, I mean, we've covered that topic or touched on trust as a fundamental through many shows, you know, it comes up sometimes not planned, but I mean, it's so important. I mean, you spoke a while back about product trust and so on. But I mean, looking at other attributes, I mean, what else besides trust would you, what bit of advice would you give to people saying, listen, as a young marketer and as a marketer for today and tomorrow, what are some of the attributes and characteristics that you need to embody to be a great marketer?
So I think one of the other opportunities and areas that I love within the Nedbank marketing team, especially working under Kenzie, is the emphasis placed on purpose-led marketing. I think there's a big, you know, there's been a big thing around storytelling as of late for marketing, but I think it kind of needs to start changing to story doing. You know, as brands, we need to show more of what we're doing and actually show it and not just tell the beautifully crafted story by our agency that we hope to, you know, win an award with, that doesn't actually, at the end of the day, give us something tangible that's making a difference. So for me, it's definitely looking to keep that as your North Star, and to keep the marketing fraternities that you work with in that direction, that, you know, we need to be doing something, we need to have a purpose and be solving our insights and, you know, under an umbrella that is user-centric, audience-centric, and not just, you know, driving for what the business needs.
Yeah, that, I mean, those are two themes that have emerged out of all the studies of the lockdown kind of 18-month spell, the purpose and your use of North Star as well, you know, in terms of focusing on outcomes. You know, for me, the purpose must be centered in the user, not in yourself, because that is something which was really clear, particularly from the World Advertising Research Council WARC studies, that the void between talking about yourself and your purpose in life as opposed to talking about me and my purpose in life and how the two of them gel has caused more problems than anything else. Just one thing which intrigues me, because my lens is the media lens, you know, Doc works in the bigger marketing space. I had the pleasure of doing some work with Nedbank in the past couple of years, and I was really intrigued by the structure within the media department or the media function, should we say. Are you still using that SOE model to structure departments, POE model, paid, owned, earned model? Because there was a point where it was written into your structures, which I thought was pretty innovative at the time. Is that still the case?
So I don't work within the group media team very closely, so I don't want to speak on behalf of the media team, Tatiana and Lovu. But as far as I'm aware, we do still work in the paid, earned, owned, and syndicated.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, that's intriguing. You know, I've referenced Seth Godin's Meatball Sunday, that you have to integrate everything into it, otherwise being an add-on makes no sense. But I thought that was a really interesting way, using the paid-earned-earn model to structure the function, not just, you know, to talk about it on a media schedule, was incredibly innovative.
Yes, for sure. I think that is, I mean, with our launching of our financial wellness initiative that's happening next week, it's definitely something that an integrated view that we've taken for our launch, working across all aspects of our earned vehicles that we already have within the bank, our earned media, so how we're working our media schedules and our media budgets, you know, through to our organic social and PR. So, you know, creating that ecosystem environment off of that model is the way that I think we're launching this project and many of our other brand campaigns and retail campaigns that we are currently working on.
I'm looking forward to hearing about that.
But, you know, Gordon, it's, you know, sometimes when chatting about these things, they almost sound obvious, you know what I mean? Because as a consumer, you know, I don't sit down, and I don't think any consumer does, and looks at, says, oh, I see, that's an earned piece of work versus an owned piece of work, and that's been crafted differently. And you know what I mean? I like consistently, whether, you know, it's a consistency across everything. There's a message that comes out from an advertiser. You know, even, I guess, as a marketer, you notice certain different things, even old school things, like a different Pantone color, as an example. You know, a brand changes their brand logo, their payoff line, but they don't change it in all the places, you know, at every touch point. So let's look at a bank, for instance. So if I go to an ATM, it doesn't phase me anyway. It's just mildly irritating. But then I look and I muse and I say to myself, you see, this is sloppy marketing because they haven't done an audit because they should have changed the brand across every touch point and not just the easy one, which is the digital download over the air. I'm talking about the physical sticker. Yeah. So absolutely. So, you know, whatever you talk about, I look and I guess people do holistically. No brand to me is that special that I'm going to say, ooh, I understand that. I'm saying, hey, listen, it's either great or in many cases, it's probably intrusive.
Yeah.
You know, as advertising, eating into my time, getting in the way, I'm trying to do something. So it's got to be appealing, and I guess you know.
Yeah, and that wheel is turning all the time. So what we used to call paid media 5-6 years ago has shifted. I mean, Facebook and Google is now the biggest paid media platform of the lot. So it'll be interesting to see how you kind of picking up that spiral and looking at digital now as a paid platform as well as an earned platform. It's going to be a difficult one to navigate going forward. But it's still, for me, what I liked was the thought that you weren't talking about that dynamic on a schedule. It was actually integrated into the business, which I thought was a very strong point of difference.
Yeah, and you know, just, I mean, the earlier point of a co-campaign, you know, when it's so big and there's so many moving parts, it's sometimes difficult to pull it all together because, you know, kid yourself not, you've got agendas, you've got budgets in the room, you've got egos in the room, and you've got different companies represented in the room. You know, you've got someone wanting to maximize the above the line, and someone wanted to do an activation, and someone wanted to do PR, and somebody, and even, and as the, yeah, absolutely, you know, and it's noise, you know what I mean? And so I guess the skill as a brand custodian and as a marketer is you need to be able to pull that together, understand what each person can bring, know how much of that you need in your thing, and orchestrate it. It's much like, you know, the person with the baton at the orchestra. You need to stand up and know when to play which section, because otherwise, you know, it can get totally. And I've also seen sometimes skilled ad execs override immature marketers. You know what I mean? You can bully a junior marketer, you know, easily with because, you know, you're the skilled person, and specifically if you're the top creative, the top client service person. So I've also seen that, and it's incumbent on the brand to say, listen, this is our brand purpose, but you need a North Star. You know, sometimes it's a little bit wonky and you're not quite sure, and then, you know, whatever the shiny object is, that's also cool to go with, you know.
Yeah, and I think we as a younger marketer myself, need to defend ourselves. But, you know, you need to be able to motivate your point of view. Yeah. I mean, for me, I've been bullied by some of the best creative minds, and I've never come away from one of those bullying sessions without having learned something really important. So Robin Putter, you know, was brilliant. I mean, his ability to extract the kernel of relevance in any creative campaign was outstanding, but he would always listen. But if you went in underprepared, as long as you could motivate your point of view, he would listen. And I think that's the key thing. We must not shy away from being, inverted commas, bullied. We need to learn to motivate our point of view, and suddenly that's going to give you the hearing which you might not otherwise have got. But just, you know, as we move towards wrap up, I mean, you know, one good thing that one you would recommend to young marketers, something you would suggest they avoid? I mean, you've made a marvelous transition from FMCG to banking, so you're in a good position to talk to what was good, what was bad.
So I think my advice would be to put your hand up and lean into any project that's being offered to you. One of my biggest learning curves within the bank has been working on different, what they call squads and teams that are working on everything from digital to transformation of certain products within retail to launching our online transactional store ever, our super app. Things that I had no idea where to start, never having worked within an agile squad, to a year or two later now, being able to facilitate my own project now for financial wellness in an agile manner as the scrum master. So not shying away from saying I don't know everything, but I'm willing to participate and learn and get stuck in, even if it's the note taker, the manager of the planner or of the scrum board, but I'm happy to assist. And I think I've learned a lot through the various teams and other senior marketers just by being kind of a fly on the digital teams meeting.
That is great. And I think, you know, it's good advice that you must put in the hours and do the work, you know, and I think you made the point, no matter what role you're playing, as long as you can get into that room.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Put your hand up, get into the room.
Yeah.
And then be less superstitious as to where you're sitting and what you need to do. You know, as you said, maybe the note taking, maybe it's not. And sometimes by saying nothing is better than making a stupid comment, but at least learn from that. And the next time, you know, you grow. And I think that's a wonderful thing, being that sponge to be able to absorb information as a young person. Because, you know, sometimes, I don't know, you know, maybe it's through tenure at a place or age, you get to a stage where you're almost too scared to ask that so-called stupid question. Because people say, but hey, you've been here 5 years, surely you should know. And so I think the advice is to use your time while you still can.
Exactly. You know, people don't
so that youth isn't wasted on the young, you know.
Yeah, you know, look, I mean, I've always said ask the questions, you know, even if it looks the same as last year, ask the questions. And if we end up doing this year exactly what we did last year, we're doing it now because we've interrogated the process and we found it's still valid. We're not just doing it because that's what we do. So for me, there's always a value in the questions. Doc, I'm going to just pick up on one thing and I'm going to throw you a challenge here on the lean in, because I took you off sides with
Gordon,
the...
Please, mate.
He was completely thrown about... International Star Wars Day and accused me of not giving him enough preparation.
I'm telling you
in advance, September the 19th, okay, is International Talk Like a Pirate Day, and I want you to lean into that. I'm expecting lots of me hearty, welcome to the Duck and Guru podcast, me matey. That's the September the 19th.
Gordon, what's in your water? Is that, it could be vodka, it's cleared.
I'm checking out now. I'm going to leave the doctor wrap up. Lisa, it's been brilliant talking to you. Congratulations, and look forward to you chatting to you a month or two down the line when the project's in gear.
Yes, awesome. Thanks for having me, and yeah, I'll see you then.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks. Just one last thing. How do people get hold of you if they want to reach out to you on social platforms and chat with you?
So they can reach out to me on LinkedIn. So it's Lisa Mainshard, the only Mainshard, Lisa Mainshard out there. The perks of having a unique surname. Yeah. And then I'm on Twitter at @I_like_Lisa.
Okay, great. And again, you know, that's like, you know, Gordon and I always say is, you know, be part of it. You know, these, and even if you don't want to chat with us, that's also okay. But chat with our guests, you know, reach out to them. They're all on social platforms. They've got something to tell you, a story to share. You don't know. And I guess one of the things is you've got to go out there trying to join dots all your life. You've got to look for dots and connect them. And you don't know, you know, who knows who and so on. So Lisa, thank you very much. Again, well done. Fantastic accolade, being one of the top rising stars, top marketers. And obviously big up to Nedbank for doing really well. Gordon, thanks for your time.
Splice the main brace.
We have to find the off button here. Lisa, thanks very much. Gordon, to our listeners, we'll catch you next week. Cheers for now. And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views and certainly will respond. And hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc. And it's Gordon Miller, the guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, at Mzanzi Media. And I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo. And we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
This podcast series has been made possible by The Salt, the influencer company that turns influence into affluence. In the same way that information is presented in this podcast in a relatable and authentic way, The Salt gets your customers to tell their real brand stories to their community. Go to thesalt.co.za to learn more about how The Salt can help you grow your business.